The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Words taken from today's Holy Gospel on this eighth Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know they are a bit farther away this year, but our minds are still nevertheless on this month of summer camps. After having hosted them here in Wausau for so many years, they are now down on our new and beautiful property in Burlington. And we consider that as we begin our summer camps, there is one point of faith, especially which we wish to impress upon all of your children. It is that all those who have received sanctifying grace are adoptive children of God. And this grace is not simply a cover for our sins, as our separated brethren would have it. We do not run around as Catholics saying that we are saved, even though, by some paradox, we are still wretched sinners. No, as Catholics, we do not yet know if we are saved, for God made us free, and we are free up until the last moment of this life to resist His grace. And we know that the grace of final perseverance is simply a free gift of God, which cannot be earned by any of us. If we accept His grace, though, we believe that we are not left as wretched sinners. We are transformed and made, in the words of St. Peter, partakers of the divine nature and welcomed into God's family. And therefore, it is not enough merely to have faith or trust in God. We must practice all the virtues which have been infused into us. This Sunday's parable of the dishonest steward has often been described as one of the most obscure in the whole gospel. Some of the fathers were eager to present different allegorical interpretations. And yet the moral lesson of this parable is clear enough, for our Lord states it plainly. The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. The seemingly obscure points of the parable are not so difficult after all. A master being pleased at being cheated. Why does our Lord depict such a seemingly unlikely scenario? And why does He seem to tell us to use the mammon of iniquity? Because that is exactly how God works in our fallen world. The great St. Jerome explains it well enough. He says, this Lord commended His unjust steward because he had done wisely, though wickedly. The Lord, although Himself defrauded by it, could not but praise the shrewdness of His dishonest servant because he had cheated him with profit to Himself. How much more then will our Master, Christ, who is above any defrauding by us and is Himself the great forgiver, praise us if we win a blessing from Him by dealing indulgently with those who are to believe in Him. Right after this parable, the Lord says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of iniquity. This word mammon is a Syriac and not a Hebrew word, signifying ill-gotten gains. If then even ill-gotten gains can be so used by such as have them as to profit by them, how much more can they, who like the apostles, are stewards of the mysteries of God, those true and blameless riches, how much more can they profit themselves even everlastingly by their right use of them? Therefore it is written just after, he that is faithful in that which is least, that is to say, in bodily things, is faithful also in much that is faithful also in that which is spiritual. Yes, the worldly lord praises his steward for shrewdly taking care of his own future, even though he did so at his master's expense. Our divine master, as we have just been reminded, cannot be cheated by us, for he has already given us everything, pouring out every last ounce of his blood for our salvation. As Jerome's contemporary, St. Augustine, says, God has done even more. He has even placed himself in our debt. As he dares to say, God has made himself our debtor, not by receiving anything from us, but by promising so much to us. He has solemnly promised us an eternal reward, and he asks that we but cooperate with the grace we have received. St. Paul tells us today that we are debtors, not according to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Yes, we are God's debtors, and yet God has made himself our debtor. We may say that in the folly of divine love, God wants to be defrauded by us. He wants us to take all the spiritual riches he has entrusted to us and shrewdly dispense them with our own eternal good in mind by showing mercy toward others. It is noteworthy that St. Luke links this parable with those words first heard in the Sermon on the Mount. You cannot serve God and mammon. We may say that we have here the only way in which we are called to imitate worldlings. They have chosen their master, and they serve him well. They show great cleverness and zeal in securing the things of this world. Why are we then, with all that we have been told of the glorious world to come, so lax in applying all our skills and talents to the one thing that matters? The children of this world, yes, even the ancient pagans before Christ, knew how to practice the moral virtues. Our four cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, were known to the pagan philosophers. And so our Lord tells us that if even the pagans can practice these virtues, how much more should you, with the light of the gospel, be able to practice them? For children of grace, the four cardinal virtues are not just acquired as habits. They are infused at the moment of our baptism, so that we are gently moved, though not forced, by the Holy Ghost to practice them as soon as we reach the age of reason. Nowhere is this truer than in the case of the virtue considered today, the one which has always been known as the chariot of all the virtues, but which today may also be known as the forgotten virtue, the virtue of prudence. Prudence is defined as the virtue by which we apply right reason to our actions. Today the word has been watered down to mean little more than caution. It would almost seem then that prudence is opposed to courage, that we have to balance one against the other. Nothing could be more untrue. Prudence puts eyes on our courage, enables us to direct courage toward a truly desirable goal. And courage is the motor behind prudence, pushing prudence toward its true goal, which is not to stand by in safety, but to act. Thus, for Christians, prudence must be more precisely defined as a supernatural virtue infused by God, by which our practical reason dictates what, all things considered, must be done or avoided here and now in order to obtain eternal life. The children of this world know well enough how to exercise prudence in order to obtain passing goods. We as Christians, informed by the truth of divine revelation, can practice a prudence which is beyond them. We make friends in this world by the mammon of iniquity, as our Lord says today. Yes, we make friends in this world by giving them our love, that is, that perfect love of charity by which we desire heaven for them. And the only way we can communicate love to them is by earthly means. Our words and our time, employed either in prayer or in good deeds, food, clothing, and other material goods. Today's gospel is in fact tied to another passage in the Sermon on the Mount, that we must make peace with our adversary on the way. That is, we must settle all our debts here and now before the day of judgment. And St. Francis de Sales reminds us that this passage of the gospel, like today's, applies not only to our friends in this world, but also to those to whom we are bound by charity in the next. The souls in purgatory are great friends, which we make already in this world. For when we are called to appear before our judge, it is they who will plead for us before the divine majesty, that we may be received into the everlasting dwelling prepared for us. On that dread last day, we shall be judged on our love. For our Lord summed up the entire law in two commandments of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. May we spend our earthly life in such love and generosity, that when the day soon comes that our earthly life shall fail, we may be received into everlasting dwellings. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.